Hi, everybody. I'm Sandra Eula. I am the Historic Preservation Planner on the team. I work with the department, and I'm going to be giving you a little historic overview. And I think of this more as a conversation than my teaching you something, because I know that you all know your history very well, and I am new to learning about this area of the county. And my role on the team is to make sure that the proposals that we make in the Mark Rail Communities Plan respect the historic character of the two communities, Germantown and Boyds, and also celebrates the historic character. So as we go through the plan, we will think of how to capitalize on the unique history of these two places. So just getting started. As you know, by 1873, the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad was completed through the county, and it cut from the diagonally across the county from the southeast to the northwest. And this changed the county dramatically, because it brought suburbanization, it brought new industrial nodes, new commercial nodes, it opened up land for development that had not been developed before. And in fact, a number of the designated local historic districts that we have in the county are along this line. So, as you can see in this 1879 Hopkins map, the two areas in red are our study areas. One looks like a ghost, that's Boyd's. That's the Boyd's study area. And the other one is more like a rectangle, and that's Germantown. And you can already tell from this 1879 Hopkins map that housing and buildings are starting to cluster around these the railroad in these two areas. By 1951, you still see about the same development pattern. It's still very rural, but there is this clustering around these two stations. By 1979, strangely, it's pretty much the same. You don't see too much development, but by 2015, we've suburbanized in the Germantown area as a result of long-range planning efforts, wedges and corridors policy that the county had adopted. But in the Boyd's area, of course, it stayed rural. And so this is what you see, and this is about what we're working with. And we now also, you can see the reservoir that's been developed. And of course, if you go backward, you see that wasn't there. So in both communities, as I said, we have a very strong historic character. So in Boyd's, within the sector plan area, we have a large historic district, which is the red, and we also have one individual historic site. And these are both sites that were designated on the master plan for historic preservation. So these are locally designated historic sites, and they are historic sites and properties within districts. So they are given protection under law because they've been designated on the master plan for historic preservation. And if any of you don't know, the master plan for historic preservation was an effort that was initiated in the mid-70s. The ordinance came into being that allowed us to do that in also the late 70s. In 1979, we did we printed the master plan for historic preservation. And it's a scheme that allows us to evaluate resources throughout the county to determine whether they meet one of nine criteria for architectural or historical significance. And if they do, then they can be recommended for designation. And the decision is ultimately made by the county council. They're not acting in a quasi-judicial role there. They are acting legislatively, but we have designated many resources throughout the county. And before we did that, in the mid-70s, we did a big survey of Prince George's County and of Montgomery County. And I think that must have been the best job ever. Mike Dwyer was our park historian, and he did that job. So he went all over both counties, determining what could possibly be deemed historic in the future. And that was put together in something called the Locational Atlas. So for 30 years, the Historic Preservation Office in our department has been working its way through that locational atlas and evaluating those resources. And some get designated on and are given full protection under the law, and some are deemed not to be worthy of designation and they're removed from the locational atlas. So you can see that Boyd's is very historic because it has a large historic district that's on the master plan for historic preservation, and it has one individual site called Winterbourne. And of course, just outside, it also has another master plan site called the Little Seneca Viaduct. And when you are designated as a historic resource, before you can change the exterior of your property, you have to consult our office. If it's a sort of a, if it's a maintenance, you don't have to go through any other process. But if it's more than just routine maintenance, then you go through the historic area work process, work permit process. And that process ensures that when you make exterior changes, it's compatible with the historical character. Now, and in order to help you in doing this, the county in, I think it was in 85, created a tax credit against your real estate taxes for any approved exterior maintenance and changes. And recently, the county council upped that to 25%. So we have a very significant historic preservation tax credit in this county. And I've left some notices on the table over there, and you can take one of them. And if you want to read up more about that, you can go to that website or call, and we'll talk to you about that. So, okay, so. And then also Germantown has historic resources. The red is the historic district right in the center, again centered around the railroad station. And then we have four other individual historic sites that have been designated on the master plan within the sector plan boundary. So starting with Germantown, I just thought I'd give you a quick pictorial run through of what was and is there. So the first site I want to talk to you about is the Madeline V. Waters House site, because the property which was designated on the master plan was destroyed by arson in 86. But there was quite a substantial house there, as you can see. That was the Waters House. And on the top is a 51 aerial, and outlined in red is the resource. And you can see the long driveway leading to the home site, as people call it, where the house was. And now you can see that Germantown Road on the bottom in the 2006 aerial cuts through the property. Let's see. It's not working. It's working on my screen. Okay. Well, you can point to it for me. You can see.
Sure. Right there.
Right. It cuts through the property. And so it remains in historic preservation status. And it has an allay of trees, and we're hoping to keep those trees preserved. That's considered an important aspect of this. Also in Germantown, still standing, is an individual site, the Pumphrey Mattini House, right there at the station, showing lovely Victorian era details, a Gothic pointed window, the porch, the center cross gable form, which is so typical here in the Up County. Another site is the Upton Bowman House on Liberty Mill Road. This has been renovated recently, so it looks a little different. This is a 2005 view. Another site is the Wallachheimer House on Matini Hill Road. Two views of that, one from 1930 on the left. And this is actually, you can't see it too well, but outlined in green is the historic district. Thank you very much, Roberto. That's the historic district. So it's a compact historic district that's centered around the station. Can I borrow that?
Sure.
Okay. So the station house is right here, and the tracks are here. There used to be a large mill here. This is the Germantown Bank. We have some historic homes in here. There was once a scale here, and a grain scale was in here as well. And even though this district is small and tight, there's a tremendous number of properties in here that are historic and that remain that maintain their historic character. And in fact, the historic district was originally proposed as much larger, but this is what the county council ultimately approved. Here's some pictures. You can see the bank. Here's the bank, small bank with a classical facade. Here's the rail station house. This was built in 1899, but it was rebuilt in 1978 after fire. This was what was directly across the street from the bank. This was the Liberty Mill. And before the Liberty Mill was on this site, the Upton Bowman Mill was there. It burned down. There have been a lot of burnings down in Germantown over the years. And it was rebuilt and taken over by a new group and was rechristened Liberty Mill. So that was demolished. But it took advantage of its proximity to the railroad. The railroad opened up a lot of business opportunities for mills and farmers. The railroad also allowed for milk to be transported quickly, so dairy farming came in as a result of refrigeration and these transportation improvements. And this is the Harris Allnut House that's also in the historic district.
Is Liberty Mill a steam mill, since we don't have a river or anything there?
The Liberty Mill was an electric mill. I hope I'm not getting that wrong. Okay, and you can see now this is also at the Germantown Station, standing up on the hill and looking across the tracks. And this little building here had many uses over the years, but it was a store primarily. And at the turn of the century, there were a number of businesses in Germantown. And Germantown had been located to, I guess you would say, the southwest. But when the railroad came in, the center of gravity moved to the railroad, and a number of businesses and residents established around this area. In the historic district, we have lots of residential houses. We have a number of residential houses, the Anderson Johnson House. This is the Anderson Johnson House. This is the Rayfield Browning House, which Reverend Rayfield was a reverend. And over here is a 1906 view. And I don't know exactly what I'm looking at. Does anybody know? I was hoping my audience might tell me. Okay. I'm sure someone will be able to tell me throughout the course of our workshop. Now, in Boyd's, of course, as I said, we have historic resources as well. So this is the historic district that got approved, and this is the one individual resource, and here's a resource outside of the plan area. So the individual resource is Winterbourne. Oh, you know, could we turn the light off? It didn't occur to me to ask that. You might be able to see. Oh, I should have done that, right? Okay, is that okay for everybody that the light's off? So this is Winterbourne, and it's in rough shape, and it's for sale. And I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly. It might be Winterbourne because it's named after a winder, which is a bobbin. And the family that built this house, the wife's side, got their money from a relative who made his money from inventing the bobbin. Okay, and they came through on the railroad one day and saw the idyllic setting of Boyd's and decided that they would build this house. And this house is architecturally notable. There was they brought lots of plants there, and they built it first as a summer place, but eventually people lived there year round. And this was illustrating how the railroad brought recreational visitors out during the summer and created that kind of industry in our what's now our Ag Reserve. This is a map of the actual historic district with the sites shown that are considered to be primary resources, meaning the most important resources, and secondary resources. And I'll point out that, so the railroad station is here, and in this area we have a number of African American resources. Along here we have the small commercial district, and then we have homes and homes all stretching through here, and several church sites. So you can see on the left, top and bottom, somebody's house who's living here, who's here, right?
Yeah.
Okay. These are houses in the historic district on Barnesville and Clopper Road. They have a vernacular form, the center cross gable house. This is the center cross gable, is a very typical form for post-Civil War 1880s housing in Montgomery County in the Up County. And you can see Gothic Revival details such as the windows, the pointed or rounded windows. That these houses are often of three or five bays, and they often have a porch on the front. Those are very typical elements of this type of home. Here I'm showing you both, there's some new and old. So recently, in the last few years, we had some new construction in Boyd's. Commercial construction, some signage about the Mark Station, and I just gave you this aerial here so you can see the clustering around the Boyd Station. And this is a mill that's also right by the station.
I just had a question for the community. Is that bike rack still there?
Yeah.
Because I noticed one time we were out there, we noticed it, then we saw it was gone.
Yeah,
they were gone for maybe for a repair or something.
The anchor bolts went into asphalt, and then so they came out, and then they put in better anchor bolts, and they're still there.
Okay.
All right. Great. It's good to brand the place, so I love that. Right. Here is the in the historic district. You see some African American resources here: St. Mark's Methodist Episcopal Church, the Diggins House, the Boys Negro School, which has been restored and serves as a community resource, and the Boyd's Presbyterian Church complex is here, and there's a cemetery there, though you can't see it. And I wanted to point out...
Question?
Sure.
I'm not sure if I'm allowed to, so...
Oh, yeah, no,
yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. Yes. I'm with the Boyd's Historical Society, and we have two sites that are of historic sites, but are not. I mean, the Boyd's Negro School is a historic site.
Yes.
And the Boyd Mocklin House is an historic site. And why they do not show up on your map as actual sites?
Well, I know I have to check the Mocklin House, but I did look into the Boyd's Negro School, and at one point it was taken into the historic district. So it's a site, it's a property within the designated historic district now.
If you go back to your map, you can
see
that.
So it's in
the
district.
It's in a district, but it is actually a site. It's not just a resource. It is.
So if it's in the district and it can still be a site?
Well, my understanding, no, you're either a site or you're in the district. And my understanding from the research I did, and we can check into this because I'm just starting all of this, is that it was taken into the district, so it is a resource in the district. So we can talk later?
Okay, good.
Okay?
Actually, if you do go back to your map real quickly, the other site they're asking about, isn't the second...
Is that a site?
Yeah, isn't it that one?
The Boyd Mocklin House is up there.
Right, right.
Across from the post office.
So that's also a primary resource in the district, is what this map is showing.
Right.
So both of these are actually the top and the bottom of this, of the district, and both showing as primary.
Okay.
It's contrary to your understanding?
Well, I just don't know what the different classifications are.
Right. Yes, sir.
Simple-minded question. Take something that is within the district but is not a historic site.
Yes.
Is there a distinction in terms of protections, usages between the two categories?
It's still within the district, and exterior changes still need to be reviewed, but generally, the Historic Preservation Commission will review those resources slightly differently, but they still want to make sure that nothing's done that is wildly incompatible with the historic district.
Is there a tax credit available to those properties?
Yes, there is.
Oh.
Okay. All right. There's a tax credit available. Okay. And I wanted to tell you that we have a new initiative that our agency did, our Historic Preservation Office did, in conjunction with the County Council, George Leventhal. We now have a story map online on our Montgomery County, our Montgomery Planning Department website. And it's an interactive map where you can click on a map and learn all about the African American historically designated, local historically designated resources in the county. And as you can see, they chose for their cover page a 1930s class from the Boyd School. So I encourage you to go there, and we will put this PowerPoint up online, and then you can read the names of all the people that are in the school, which are below here, from the 1930s that have been identified. But this map is great fun. And we may do additional phases later on where we add other resources and community history that are not designated already. And you know, you're very lucky in Boyd's to have all the African American resources that you have, because so often throughout the county we lose those resources for any number of reasons. And the community may still exist, but the primary initial buildings are gone. So Boyd's is an extraordinary example of has a great number of resources, relatively speaking. And that's my presentation, and I know that I didn't give you any great new in-depth material, but I'm beginning my studies of this area. So our goal is, as I said, my goal is to ensure that whatever changes we propose are respectful to the historic character of these two places, and in fact celebrate that historic character. So I'm very happy to take any questions or comments or thoughts, and I know that we're going to be speaking a lot more as we go through this plan. Thank you.
Any questions?
Any thoughts? There's actually, I neglected to put it in the PowerPoint, but there's actually, you know, the Edward Taylor School at the end of, just outside of the district, is a mid-century school that was actually a new school built for the African American community, which was in itself somewhat unusual because not too many new schools were built prior to desegregation for the African American community. And again, unusual because eventually it was integrated and whites came to this black school. So I know there's been some discussion about whether that could be designated. probably not within the timeframe of this plan, but we can talk about this in a smaller group. I do know that these days the county is not leaping up to designate county facilities, so that might be an uphill battle, but we can talk about that. All right, thank you.